like take her sweet time coming.
I love when Katie starts by talking shit.
I know. I typically do. About nothing aside from my own personal shit that I'm talking shit for.
Yeah. No, 100%. Anyway, hi.
Hey, T.
Hey, Katie.
Dog's shouting. Did you hear him?
No.
He goes, hey, T.
Hey, Tom.
Tom. Hi, baby. He's feeling good right now.
Yeah, well, he's probably just so excited because he gets to see me on Saturday.
Oh, my God. Yes. It's like, you knew. He's so giddy with excitement. I actually have to tell him, like, he needs to stop because we need to keep up our persona that I'm his wife.
Yeah. Honestly, like, it would just be so embarrassing for you. You know?
I have an idea. Hold on. I have an idea.
Okay. Katie is simultaneously working and recording. So I'm just getting a really nice close-up of her neck. But anyway, today is the day. Katie prepared for it. We are doing our mid-year. We're going to do our mid-year review today. We are halfway through the year. Technically a little bit more than halfway at this point, but we are halfway through the year. July has just started. And it's been a year so far.
Yeah, on all fronts.
Yeah, no, like, I feel like January was 385 days. And then since January ended, it has been, like, a whirlwind. At least for me, I feel like it's just gone so quickly since then.
Like, I was talking to a client today, I was like, how are we in July?
Yeah.
Like, I know how we're here, because it's been long, but then it's also not been long.
Right. Like, I'm already at work, like, we're already talking about year end. Because with, like, everything, like, coming, like, we bring in a lot from Europe, so, like, everything is, like, 3 months we have to plan. So, like, I'm already planning for October kind of, like, time frame. Which is crazy. And then we're like, okay, like, normally, like, when we start talking about October, we're like kind of in year end discussions. I don't know. It's just like,
with you. My mom is, cause I'm running a race in October and it's at an LBI. So she's like, we need to like book something. And I'm like, we got time. She's like, it's July. And I'm like, you're right. Yesterday, I literally had an epiphany that I have a plan for my son's first birthday party, but I haven't invited anybody. So I should probably.
Yeah, that is literally a month away. Like, I have it written down. I know the date, but yeah, you should probably let other people know.
Nobody else knows.
And like, okay, so next week, I think I'm pretty free for the weekend, but the following week, I'm going to Vegas for like a literally 36 hours with my mom to see the Backstreet Boys at the Sphere. And then the weekend after, I'm seeing Nelly and Ja Rule in concert. And then the following weekend, I'm seeing Lil Wayne. I'm like, oh my God. I was telling my brother, and we were just like dying. I was like, it's basically like I'm back in high school.
I was going to say, you're like revisiting your youth. I think some of the Madonna girls are going to Nelly and Ja Rule.
Well, maybe I'll see them.
Maybe. If you're in the lawn, because that's where they're sitting. So I was like, I'm out.
Oh, no. Yeah, no. Jackie and I got tickets. We have seats because I'm like, we're
adults.
Our late 30s. I don't need to be in the lawn at a Nelly Ja Rule concert around a bunch of like drunk. I just don't want that kind of, I don't need that in my life. So yeah, no, we got seats. I'm like, also, I want to sit down. Anyway, sorry, back to business because we might have to make this quickie. We're reviewing what we've read so far, what we've loved, what we've hated. Well, I'm just going to say, let's start with what we've loved. And then if we have time, what we've hated.
Perfect.
I'm so far ahead of my reading goal, which is funny because I think I'm going to finish the year probably around what I finished last year, which was like 180, I think.
Okay.
But you know how I've been like trying to read less and less, which I don't know. I feel like I had a few really crazy months. Like last month I read so many books. Anyway, my reading goal I had set to 150, but I'm already at 98. So I think I'll definitely finish 52 books by the end of the year.
I'd say so. I put a goal of 100. And I'm 14 books ahead, so that's actually kind of shocking. But yeah. I've read 63. So
I feel like you've been really, because like you're running a lot again. I feel like you've been really pumping out, yeah, audiobooks.
I will say, I don't think I've touched my Kindle in about 5 days. I feel like bedtime's hit. Even last night, like if I wanted to read, Leah just refused to go to bed. So yeah. We ended up all falling asleep together, and it was 10:30 that I ended up putting her back. So I was like, I'm not reading right now.
Yeah.
So yeah, I will say I've been on like the audio, especially because the miles. I'm like, here we go.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know if you've done the calculations. I did because I put together the post we're going to do. So I've only listened, it's actually a lot, 21 audiobooks. I've done a lot of reread via audio this year, though. So like, I feel like I did a First Time Caller reread, Promise Me Sunshine reread. I did the entire Windy Cities as rereads. Left of Forever I did as a reread. I feel like I just did like a lot on audio as like rereads. But since we're talking about audio, we can just go into our best audio books of the year. And I know that a few of these for us are going to overlap. So why don't we just start with best audiobook and one of our five star reads of the year. And the trailer just dropped. No, Project Hail Mary.
Hail Mary, yes.
Yeah.
So good. So good. Yeah.
Literally, I know we've talked about this book a few times on here, but the trailer for the movie just dropped like this week. And it doesn't come out until next March. But the trailer looks so good.
I know Teresa and I are on this hill of these adaptations.
This is not the kind of book that I'm talking about when I say adaptations, though. I just don't want corny romance. Like, I don't want romance books termed. Yeah, this is a really...
Martian. Like, that's a movie. It's the same... Oh, my God. Tom is texting. not going to repeat. But...
Okay.
He's laughing. He thinks he's funny.
Yeah, he's not. We already knew that about him.
Exactly. But these books... You could, when you were reading it, you knew it could be a great, great movie. Like, The Martian's already out there. Think of it along the lines of that. Like, yeah. Even, like, The Da Vinci Code. I mean, the movie was... But you know what I mean? Like, it was just such... The trailer gave me such hope.
Yes. I have a lot of high hope based on that trailer. Ryan Gosling, too, is, like, I think just... He picks really great movies to be in. And... I think that because he's leading it, I think regardless, it's going to be amazing because he can lead a movie so well.
I'm like laughing. So I'm like just lightly counting how many audiobooks. Most of my books are probably audiobooks. But I will say, even like I kind of would love like an atmosphere adaptation.
Even though yeah, I don't we said that a lot. Yeah.
But I just feel like some of these books that we've been reading. I feel like each time we do a year review or a mid review, we have a theme through the year. Our first year, I think, was just kind of like anything and everything because you're testing mm-hmm. the water. Then we really hit like a big fantasy streak.
Mm-hmm.
We came full circle with like hardcore romance. And I will say we're obviously still in our romance era, but yes. We've really been dabbling in like the contemporary and like true contemporary realm.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna lie, I'm here for it.
Yeah. I mean, most of my favorite books of the year were romances, but like really yeah. I mean like really great ones.
Really great ones.
Which but is
I'm craving like a really good plot. Like if you're gonna give me like a really good plot.
Yeah, I just started a book today. Which, and I'm so sorry because I'm completely blanking, but somebody, one of our listeners emailed us about it. I'm pretty sure that's where I got the recommendation from. What's the name of this book? I have my Kindle right here. You guys are lucky. It's I think it's Go As a River.
Okay.
Oop, Yeah, Go as a River. I don't know who the author is. I'm not going to look it up right now. I'm pretty sure it was recommended by a listener who emailed us, and I was like, put it on my TBR, and I was reading a book. I've been reading a hockey romance series. I thought the first book was cute. I thought the second book was less cute, and then I got 15% into the third book, and I was like, I feel like the plot was stupid so far, and again, maybe it'll get better, but I just like very... So I soft DNF'd it. I was just like, maybe I'll go back and read it. But as of right now, no. So I was like, I need something with like more of a plot. And I had this on my TBR and I was like, you know what? It was on Libby and it became available today. So I said, that's my sign. Yeah. But should we stick with audiobooks that we loved?
Yeah. I mean, okay. Do you want to just like, how do you want to do this?
Well, I know that we also, I don't know if you have it on your list, but Left of Forever as an audiobook. I have it as one of my 5-star reads of the year too, but I would recommend that as in the audio format.
Agreed.
Katie and I did both, and I just think the narrators did such a great job on Left of Forever by Tara DeWitt via audio that if you are an audiobook girl, or if you're like an either or kind of gal, I recommend the audio versus the eyeball.
I agree.
Another one that I assume that you have on here, I have it as a 5-star read and a best in audio, The Thrashers by Julie Soto.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was something about listening to it that kind of, mm-hmm. And again, I didn't do the physical, so I can't say, but I feel it's very clicky, drama-esque, like we've all been in high school. If your clique had a name, you kind of knew what they came with, like there was some baggage around them, whether they wanted it, created it or not. Like there's something about it when they're kind of like that solidified group.
Mm-hmm.
Feel like the audio put me back into that high school mindset. So even though it read a bit older, I could like some of the plot points to like being at a party, trying alcohol, like things like that. I'm like, oh, I can like, I'm emanating this energy right now. I can feel it.
It was just such a good book. It's like a mystery thriller, but there's paranormal aspects to it that I wasn't expecting. I loved the main character. I liked the group of them. Obviously, we find out that Zach Thrasher.
Yeah.
Right? Is that his name?
Yeah.
I don't think he's like a bad guy, but he's obviously not a good guy either. I think a lot of the characters in this book are very like they toe the line of being like morally gray.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they're kids, so like they're making really dumb mistakes and decisions. I think the girls though, I just feel like they're not all good. They're not all bad. And the person who, Emily, she's the student who like commit suicide in the beginning, she's the same way. She's not all good or all bad. There's a lot that you learn at the end that I'm not going to give anything away. But the ending was crazy. I really hope that there's a second book. Like, I need more of this. This is my favorite book by Julie Soto, hands down. Like,
I can agree with that statement.
Yeah.
It was one of those books where you left trying to find a book that gave you the same vibe and energy.
And I know that I read it like 2 years ago, I think. You haven't read it yet. But Not Like Other Girls by Meredith Adamo gives kind of the same energy, mm-hmm. minus the paranormal aspect. So if anybody's looking for something similar, Not Like Other Girls, I really liked it.
That for some reason always escapes my like immediate thought of what to do next. I don't know why.
Well, like, put it on top of your list.
It's back on my wish list. I don't even know how it came off.
Yeah, I don't know how it did either because I've told you about it. I'm always like, Katie, you have to read this, and then like she gives me a rec, and I'm like, I'll get to it. I'm like, no, my rec is better than yours. No, I'm kidding. Okay, so a few other audiobooks that I love personally, My Dark Vanessa. I could not have read this. Like, I needed this to be audio. because it was very, very hard and difficult to read. And I think I needed like someone to tell me the story versus like me having to read it myself. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's definitely very dark. It's about an English teacher who basically grooms this girl, Vanessa. And it like spans, I think, like 10 years, starting in high school and then kind of like more into her adult life. It's very difficult to read, but I thought it was really, really good. Another audiobook I liked was I Who Have Never Known Men. It's an older book, but I think it's like gaining popularity right now. And it's kind of dystopian. It really, like, I don't even know how to explain it, because whatever you think the book is about, that's not what it's about. It's more about like the human experience and like what makes like a human a human. So it's, I'm going to do a really bad job trying to explain it, but basically it starts out and it's just like a group of like 50 women, and they are living in a bunker, and there are like three men guarding them, and the guards switch out and they're fed and like whatever, but like there's no interaction. And then one day an alarm goes off, the guards all leave, but they forget to like close like the cage, and the women all escape. And when they get up to like ground level, nobody's there. Nothing is around them. And then they keep like exploring. They don't have no idea like where they are. And they find like other bunkers, and they keep finding like bunkers full of like dead bodies, like people who were locked in the cages when the alarms went off. And like sometimes the bunkers are all men, sometimes they're all women, but it basically is like they like create like a society for themselves. And like it's the last living member of the group is like kind of like writing down her story, but she was the youngest one, and she had to like teach herself how to read and write and like do all these things. I don't know, it's just like a very cool story. The audiobook was really good, and it's short. I think it's like 200 pages, but I really liked it. I thought it was just like a very cool and interesting, like so different from anything that I've read. And I really enjoyed it while I was listening. And I have Variation on here by Rebecca Yarros. So I dabbled with some of her romance books because that's how she started. And I didn't like love, I didn't not like them, but I didn't love the first two that I dabbled in, but I really did like Variation. It's a second chance romance. It's set, I'm like actually really forgetting what this book was about, but I know that I really like the audio. Teddy Hamilton does like the male voice, so like you know you're, you know it's gonna be good. And then Scythe and Sparrow by Bryn Weaver, which is the third book in the Ruinous Love trilogy. It's a duet, it's fantastic. The accents, like it's just, if you need a good audiobook, any of the three of those are just done so well. So Butcher and Blackbird, Leather and Lark, which is my least favorite, and then Scythe and Sparrow. And I forget his name, but he was the narrator for Problematic Summer Romance as well. He does just like, he is Irish, and he just does a really great audiobook. So those are my top audiobooks.
Mine, I mean, honestly, I feel like a lot of the audiobooks I chose had great narration. So even if the story lacked.
It really does make a difference if the narration's great.
Correct. Like, my, just to call out, and this is not a favorite audiobook of mine, but like Passion Project. I didn't like some of the aspects of the book, like the plot itself, but I thought that the narrator did a phenomenal job with the story and bringing it to life. Like, I had no problem continuing to listen.
Yeah.
And I would give the narrator 5 stars, but the plot itself, I did not. There was a couple parts I was like, no, yeah, you're an asshole.
That's why I like that Audible lets you like give like stars to like the performance and then the book, which is nice. Which I like, I never do ratings on Audible, but I do like how they like let you do that.
I don't either. I think my issue with Audible in general is if I buy something, just like in anything else, you should just be able to return it no matter what. But I can't stand that if you, because again, like you could sample something. I like the narration, which is why I buy it. But if I'm not enjoying the book, you and I could put down a book, and if we wanted to return it, we could, which more times I don't than not. But like they're, I mean, just give me back my goddamn credit. They're so expensive. So yeah, I guess
that's why I've been using Libby now. I'm just like waiting for things to come. Unless like I'm like desperate.
That's what I mean. Like then, I don't have like patience for it. But yeah. My audio top, like my top audios, I mean, we mentioned a couple, obviously Atmosphere. I think it was just done so well, in my opinion. Problematic Summer, to your point. I think all Allie Hazelwood books are phenomenal on audio. She picks phenomenal narrators. Promise Me Sunshine. I mean, who's that one narrator? She's
Alex Fink.
Thank you. Anything she reads, I'll listen to it. She's phenomenal.
Yeah. No, she's so good. It's unreal.
Great Big Beautiful Life. And I'm not talking about these because I feel like we talked about these in past episodes. So like everyone knows what Great Big Beautiful Life is. It's now my memory book. I mean, my favorite book. I'm not going to go down this rabbit hole, but I will say one to call out would be All Missing Pieces by Katherine Cowles. I feel like this book doesn't get talked about a lot, and I don't really know why, because even though I enjoy most of her stories, this to me was a top tier one. It was so good. It's mystery romance. So, I mean, say less.
I'm laughing because I read it with my brain, with my eyes. I gave it 2 stars. I hated it.
Did you really? I thought it was absolutely phenomenal. Why did you hate it so much?
My, I don't know where, like, my review's not loading. I just remember being like, I didn't like care about the romance, and then thinking like that they like didn't focus enough on the mystery. And then like all of a sudden, like it just like felt very far-fetched to me. I just remember being like, yeah, I just remember being like rolling my eyes a lot.
I feel like I was so sucked in. And then I will say, oh my God, I'm drawing a blank. The reappearance of Rachel Price. So
oh, yeah,
good.
You've like, talked about that a lot.
One of those books where like you literally have no idea who to believe. It's a Holly Jackson book. So what's the one story that everyone loves, that series? Good Girl's Guide to Murder.
Okay,
this was an elevated aspect of it, like not as kiddie when it comes, because I wasn't a big fan of book 3 of that series, but you literally had no idea who to trust. Like if I was in this kid's shoes, I would be like, what parent do I listen to? Like, how, you know what I mean? Like when you're choosing between which parent to listen to, I don't know. Like it just was so wild to me. So those are my honorable mentions for my audio.
Okay. Well, I'll just kind of go through my five.
I feel like I can't sit here and read them all.
No, I'm going to go through all the books I've rated 5 stars so far, which like there are some of these are also my favorite audiobooks, but, and this is in no particular order. I'm not ranking my favorite babies. Okay. But if I had to choose, I think I know which one I would. Anyway, First Time Caller by BK Borison. 5 stars. Easy 5 stars. Obsessed. Obsessed. I did read it, and then I did do the audiobook. Both formats amazing. Obviously, Rewind It Back by Liz Tomforti. Duh. I don't think I need to go into why, who, when, wow, or where. Like, I love the Windy City series. I love all of the books. This one was just, like, very nostalgic to me, and it was my favorite tropes, like, second chance romance. Like alternating timelines, dual POV. It just had everything that I love, friends to lovers, which is so funny because it's like not even, it might even be like my least favorite of the Windy City series books, but they're all 5 stars to me. So it's like ranking 5 favorites.
Your children.
Yeah, like it's impossible to do. Promise Me Sunshine by Cara Bestone. I think this may be my favorite book of the year as of right now. If you put a gun to my head, at least my favorite room. I just love it. I like think the story is great. I think the romance in the story is great. I think the characters are amazing. She just did such a phenomenal job on that. The Thrashers by Julie Soto, I gave 5 stars to as well. Left of Forever by Tara DeWitt, another 5 stars. Project Hail Mary, 5 stars. Atmosphere, I didn't do the audio. I did read it, 5 stars. And then of course Problematic Summer Romance, 5 stars, which is kind of also maybe my top favorite romance of the year, but Allie Hazelwood just can do no wrong. That book was so fucking good. Like I don't even know if it's her best book, but I had the most fun reading it. Like I just couldn't stop. The minute I picked it up, I was like, I have to keep reading this, and I just ignored everything else for the rest of the day. So yeah,
I'm with you.
Yeah. Those are the five star. Those are all. I think there's nine of them.
I want to count mine. Three.
No, I have eight. Sorry.
I have 11.
Okay.
And I have two honorable mentions. Okay, so Project Hail Mary.
Yeah.
Promise Me Sunshine. The Otherwear Post.
Okay.
This needs to be read by everyone. It is so good. I can't stand calling it a YA fantasy because, like, the romance isn't the part. It doesn't, like, you just need to, it's not the point of it. Like, the plot's the point. Like, hearing the storyline is the point. Great Big Beautiful Life, Left It Forever, Rewind It Back, Bear Town. I will say I was very on the fence.
No, I really thought I was like told Katie, I'm like, just DNF it because like I was like, you just don't like it and that's okay. But like it was really gonna like kill me if she didn't like it. And then I saw you ended up giving it 5 stars and I was like, thank God, because it's just so good.
I feel like there are times, and I think you can attest this too, because you did this with Atmosphere. Sometimes I can't get into an audiobook. So I don't know if it was just the way it was being told to me. Maybe I wasn't focusing, I was in the mindset for it, but I started to read it, I really enjoyed it, and I ended up flipping back to the audio and I was like, the audio is phenomenal. So I was very confused. I don't know. 5-star read. Problematic Summer, Atmosphere, The Thrashers, and First Time Caller.
Yeah. I mean,
I will say I have two arcs. I rated them 4.5 stars each. I've honestly, they're like in my mind still. So like take that with a grain of salt. Like five, like I don't want to call it a 5-star because it wasn't like earth shattering to me, but like they're still in this brain. If it shocks anybody, these are kind of like paranormally slash witchy. And it's Love at First Sighting.
First Sighting. I knew it.
By Mallory Marlowe. I'm hung up on this one. I loved Love and Other Conspiracies, but this just, I love an author that's a debut author. And then their next book, like you could just tell that they've worked on stuff. So this is even better. And then A Witch's Guide to Magical Innkeeping, which is this, I don't want to call it the second book, but it's this, a regular witch's book.
Okay.
Oh my God. Yep. It's the longest title, but it's the next book. And I loved this book. This was phenomenal. So that's actually out in 13 days. It's out on the 14th and Love at First Sighting's out on 8/12. It's just Chef's calling kiss. That out.
Okay.
Chef's kiss.
I have some honorable mention books as well, a much longer list than yours, which I think
my fantasy category.
I was going to say, because I think that some of these are going to be on your honorable mention list as well. My Oxford Year by Julia Whalen. So if you are an audiobook listener, specifically Emily Henry's books, Julia Whalen also writes. So she's the narrator for like every Emily Henry book. She's fucking phenomenal. So I read The Oxford Year, and the movie is coming out on Netflix like the first week of August. It might be the first, whatever, like that first Friday is in August. It's a romance, but it's gird your loins. It's like very sad, and I didn't know what was going to happen.
Okay.
And if you're somebody who needs to know if there's a happy ending, there is a happy ending. I did not think that there would be. I was very concerned with how the book would end. And I don't want to spoil anything. It's very good, though, and I'm very excited for the movie. Another, I'm going to go through what I think you haven't read, and then I'll list the ones that I think that, so you can piggyback off of me. Okay. Destructively Mine by Kristen Becker-Ritchie, which is book two. The first book is Unfortunately Yours. It's book two in the Webs We Weave series by them. So it's like their con artist series. It was really good. There's more conning going on. You get like more background on like the kids. It's the whole, I really liked it. The Gracier by Kim Liggett. This is a dystopian book. And it's a standalone, but I think like if she wanted, she can definitely write a second book. It's about like a society, like women. It's basically like women when they like get to a certain age, so like probably like puberty. They're sent to like an island for their gracier, And it's so that they can get rid of their magic and like not like lure like the men into doing bad things. It's a whole thing, but it was just like really good and interesting. And I don't want to say a lot because 90% of it would be spoilers, but it's like very sad, but it's also just like really great. The Night in the Moth by Rachel Gillig, Obsessed, really great, like first installment in this like new, I think it's duology again that she's written. I know that you were supposed to read it, but I don't think you did when you were away.
No, I ended up not reading it. I'm actually going to start it. I don't know if it's going to be, I'm going to do the audio.
Okay.
It's going to take me 8 years to read it. So I can't prolong
We
that.
Have the audio on Libro FM, by the way.
Oh, phenomenal.
Yeah, so you don't have to waste a credit. If We Were Villains by M.L. Rio, it's like a dark academia, like murder mystery book. There's like a, I think there's like seven actors. They're in this like Shakespeare troupe at this like very like artsy fartsy like college. And one of the members of the group ends up dead. And then there's this like murder mystery kind of thing, like aspect that goes on. And it's like, I was really surprised by how much I liked it. I have Good Material by Dolly Alderton. So this is the first book of hers that I've read. I also read Ghost by her, and just like really like fun, good stories. I just did, again, I didn't think I would like it as much as I did, but I really, really loved it. So then I have Out of the Woods by Hannah Bonham Young. Deep End by Allie Hazelwood. Of course, she's on there twice. I feel like you may have had Deep End as like an honorable mention, maybe. And then Heartless Hunter by Kristen Ciccarelli.
Fun fact, I didn't have any of those.
Really? I thought you would have Deep End and Heartless Hunter for sure.
Definitely not Deep End. It was good, but like, I don't know. I like got over fast. Heartless Hunter was good to me. So I went down a fantasy kick. I liked the series a lot. I thought it was phenomenal. Calling out Quicksilver, I thought that was really enjoyable. I enjoyed it very much reading it. I did an eyeball read, and then I even hopped into the audio. The audio was done so well.
Yep.
Like the world kind of liked that. But a couple ones that I feel like aren't, besides Silver Elite, we'll talk about that one too. I enjoyed it. If you go, that's the thing that like, I think it blew up because one, it's a pen name for an author. So everyone got so tied up in that. Just let them live. And then I think because I feel like some of these readers want these masterpieces, and sometimes a book could just be fun. And that, I took it as fun. I wasn't bored throughout this book. Yeah. There was really no big crazy plot twist at the end. There was a plot twist, but I wasn't that taken aback by it. It was like, oh, I didn't. Okay. I don't know. I thought it was,
I think it was the way it was marketed too, because people were like, oh, it's the next Hunger Games. It's Hunger Games, but with spice. And then everyone was like, this is not like the Hunger Games is a literary masterpiece. This is just fun.
It also didn't have any sort of Hunger Game vibe to it. Like it did, but it was in a very, very
loosely based.
Yes. Yeah. Like, anywho. Spark the Flame by Ivy Asher. I love Ivy Asher's The Bone Witch Chronicle series. I think it's called the Odessus series or Chronicles, and technically, but it's The Bone Witch. Okay. And there's two Bone Witch books. It is the one with the skeleton on a key and butterflies by Ivy Asher. There's another one because people be like, this isn't that good. I'm like, because I didn't read that. I couldn't speak to it. It's another one. So it's the same author. There are dragons. That isn't interest to anybody. But again, kind of like fast-paced plot, you're moving through, there is very little world building, you're kind of just like thrown into this mix. She's on the run. It's just, I don't know, it's very intriguing. You want to figure out what's going on, why she was taken, how she gave herself up, how she escaped, why all of a sudden these people are interested in her. There's like a whole big thing to it. Like, again, who do you exactly trust? There's obviously an interest. You kind of saw where the love interest was going. In terms of like the mate aspect, I feel like anyone can kind of see that coming a mile away. I, at that point in time, I don't even think that should be a plot twist to anybody or even like rope. Like we all see the mate thing coming. But like really enjoyable. Like she needs to, like, I need book two to figure out where the hell are we going. There's just so many loopholes still open with some closed up, but I just thought it was so well written. The Metal Slinger.
Yeah, I still need to read that.
I haven't had a plot twist like this. I knew going in that there was going to be an epic plot twist. In my mind, the whole time, I'm like, I don't see where... I guess there's a couple options here. A, we all know I suck at them. My mouth was hanging on the floor. Like, if I was running and you saw me, this was me. I this was, again, great story. This girl is being brought up in an area that she's not from. She doesn't really know idea where her parents are. She presumes one or both to be dead. It's almost a mated thing, but they're really not mates. Like, they pick each other and then they become mates, but that's not, she learned, it's just so fucking convoluted. It's so crazy. She's like in this, she has more power. She's living somewhere else. The king's son has an interest in her, but they're best friends. Then this guy all of a sudden shows up. He's like, I know who you really are. Then he's kept hostage. She goes to free him during a huge storm. They escape. They're on this quest through the water to get to the next thing. You start to feel the tension building. You obviously figure out that they're actually mates. It's this whole big thing that she starts to learn more about herself. It's just so, and then secrets start to come out from where she was raised. It is, I'm doing a terrible job of explaining it, but I just.
No way.
No way. If you like a twist and turn storyline that you really don't get bored with, this is it. This is, and then with a cliffhanger of all fucking cliffhangers.
Yeah.
Yes. Another great story where we have a transition from a romance author to a fantasy is Julie Johnson, the Windweaver. Not just blowing smoke to blow smoke up her butt, but this.
No, you've really been talking about this, I feel like, for months because we were struggling to say Windweaver.
Windweaver. Yeah. I'm like, but it's so good. Really easy world to fall into. I'm appreciating these authors just writing fantasy stories where it's not 20% of world building where my brain wants to explode and I'm thinking about putting it down.
Yeah.
Really good story. Really good plot. You are, think of Hunger Games. Think of Game of Thrones. You know when you're thrown into a scene, you're murder's already afoot, shit's happening. Same thing. You're thrown into something, you're who is this person and what are we, what's happening? You're on guard immediately. True Morally Gray character too, which I love, and true enemies to lovers. I'm gonna shout out Shield of Sparrows. I thought it was really good, but if you honestly asked me what it was about, I can't tell you too much. But I just remember very much enjoying it while I was in it. I feel like it wasn't boring. There was a lot going on and good plot. And then as it started to turn, I was like, now it's really, I get it. It's it starts as something, then it builds into something else, if that makes sense. I thought it was very enjoyable. Again, audio. And then I will shout out Shannon Mayer. We always tend to dabble with her and then we step away and we get brought back. So if you are a Zodiac Academy diehard and you need a book that is going to satisfy the academia side with mystery minus the bullying, minus everything else aside from the academia scene. So just I think it's marketed as those who love Harry Potter and Zodiac Academy. And I understand why. It is based at school. And there is a lot of hidden secrets, a lot of mysteries to uncover. Just a school of lies, if you will. Things are not as they seem. It's very good. It's a very fast read. And I eyeball read that. And I blew through it quite quickly. And that, that is my fantasy throwdown right
there. Katie's and that is what, that's, I don't even know what I was just going to say. I was going to be and that's what you missed on Glee. But I feel like you weren't a Glee fan. So I was maybe the reference isn't going to hit.
I was on a Glee.
I was a Glee. Still a Glee. Glee forever. Once a Glee, always a Glee. I was going to say, I'm just going to go through really quick and say my least favorite book that I've read so far this year. And then I can let you guys go because I know Katie's kids are about to get home and just wreak havoc. And also it's thundering up a storm. And I feel like my Wi-Fi is going to cut out as soon as the rain gets here. But anyway, my least favorite book of the year, and not because it was poorly written and not because whatever, my least favorite book of the year because fuck you, Heath Rocha, The Favorites by Lynn Fargo. Fuck that book. Fuck those characters. Fuck Heath. Fuck Bella. Oh my God. What did Ariana Madix say? Like, fuck yourself with a cheese grater. Like, literally, I hope the worst things on those two characters. So yeah, I just wanted to make sure that I rounded out my mid-year review by saying fuck you to Heath Rocha one more time.
So my least favorite book, and I'm going to talk about it today, is going to be Not Safe for Work.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not because I liked her writing. I thought she wrote very atmospheric.
Yeah.
Like lines. I fell into the story. I think there was a lot that I did like, but I just think there was a few things that I was like, you are completely contradicting yourself. Like, did you want the story to go this way or did you want it to go? I don't know. There was a lot of things that I actually started to make a list. I liked the idea behind what she was trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Email engineers, like kind of that vibe. And that's why I didn't even want to write a review because I didn't want someone to be like, you're shitting on the fact that women in an engineering world are the minority. And that's not my goal here. I just think there was some things that she should have done and could have done differently.
Yeah. And I mean, Allie Hazelwood writes women in STEM all the time and she does a really good job
portraying it. I mean, even in romance, like there's a couple things that I was like,
I just, yeah, I'm kind of going to talk shit next week too about a book.
We're going to
kind of the same thing. Yeah.
We're going to talk some shit next week. I'm ready for it.
Oh, wait, not next week. 2 weeks from now.
I'm actually very excited to be able to contribute to the shit talking conversation.
I know.
I never really do.
It's normally just me, certified hater. And I actually didn't even. Yeah. And I also just like, I didn't hate the book that I'm going to talk.
I didn't hate it either. I just think there were some things I was like, what?
I also just think like some things like don't need to happen. So like sometimes I feel like things like tropes are thrown in because it's popular and it just like doesn't add to the story and it like is stupid. It makes no sense. And that I'll go on my high horse about. And like you guys need to like knock me down because I know like I contradict myself all the time. But next week is The God of the Woods by Liz Moore. The following week is Spilling the Tea, where Katie and I will talk mass amounts of shit. 7/23, The Summer Storms by Sarah McLean, which I believe just came out or is coming out like next week.
Something like that.
Yeah. And then the final week of the month. So there's 5 weeks this month. Not that it matters. We put out an episode every week. But for us, like coming up with a, we were like, oh my God, a fifth week. Another Spilling the Tea. So
I do have an idea for mid-August.
Okay.
Like talking about academia stories, like what are our favorites?
Okay, anything, yeah, because it's like back to school.
Yeah, like any school setting doesn't have to be fantasy, but like thinking like the Thrashers, like things like that. So I'm going to come, I have some ones that I'm going to come prepared with.
Oh, okay. Well, just, yeah, when we put together our August calendar, remind me because.
Will do.
But yeah, that's it. Like I said, it's about to storm out, so it's
bad here, yeah.
Yeah, it's like thundering. I don't know if you guys could hear it before. I was like, kind of like, that's kind of loud, but it's fine. Winston's going to be upset because he's not going outside now. And I told him, after mommy's done recording, we'll go out. No, you're not.
You ain't doing that now.
No, Gil did take him out yesterday when it started thundering. And then I walked outside and I see a huge flash of lightning. I looked at him. I said, if you don't get that fucking cat in this house right now. I don't care what happens to you, but you better get my cat inside. Anyway, that's all we have for you today. I got nothing else. So, Katie, if you can do the honors, I would really appreciate it.
Girl, I got you.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, fuckers.